Hello and welcome to the fourth edition of the Europa Legion podcast covering the Europa League. I'm Callum McLean and as always I have Chris Befoyd of the Checkup joining me. How are you doing, Chris?
Alright. Just had a few conversations with the neighbours recently. Well, about 10 minutes ago. So apart from that, everything's alright.
Also, I have another returning guest for his second appearance, Ed Gibbons, an expert on ultras and football hooliganism. How are you doing, Ed?
I'm good, thanks. Nice sunny day for once.
Yeah, it does make a change, doesn't it?
Brightens up the mood.
And last but not least, we have the editor of HungarianFootball.com with us, Tomasz Mortimer. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm not bad.
Good stuff. We'll jump straight into it. Chris pointed this one out to me. Branimir Subasic, again, has done the business for Lankaran, putting him in a very good position going into the second leg with a 1-1 draw at home to Lech Poznan. Do we reckon they're going to be able to take that one into the next round?
I'm not sure. It was one of the things I've watched the highlights, watched the extended ones that have cropped up on YouTube. And Lankaran pretty much dominated that entire game. They created better chances in front of like a huge crowd they had. I think you could say they were very unlucky to be just going, you know, over to Poznan next week at tied at 1-1.
JJK beat Zeta of Macedonia, which Tom, you want to wax lyrical about the midfielder that got the hat trick?
He's an absolute legend. I think he has, that's his sixth or seventh goal in Europe this season from three games, and he plays in midfield. It's just his goal scoring record in Finland's just ridiculous. And yeah, a good 3-2 win again for JJK. Looking quite good. They beat Stabæk in the last round from Norway. So I think they might do quite well this season.
Wait, so do you reckon that's them through into the third qualifying round? Or?
Yeah, I think so. I think they've got more than enough to beat. Is it Morza? I think they'll should do well away from home. They're usually quite good away from home positions.
FC Mosami of Moldova put themselves in a advantageous position, to say the least, beating Aktobe of Kazakhstan 4-2. Again, do we see any change there? I mean, there's two away goals there for Aktobe, but is that going to be enough to get him through?
Kazakhstan's a very difficult place to travel to, actually, and Aktobe were favourites to win the game in Moldova. So having nicked a couple of away goals, it's very possible that this is one tie that could be turned around. What with the big home advantage and the away goals, 2-0 win would obviously put them through, which is very realistic for a team with European experience like Aktobe.
Yeah, I think the long-distance travels at this stage are having their effects. I mean, Poznan had to travel to Kazakhstan in the first qualifying round, and they weren't too convincing there. And, you know, that's travel as well over to Azerbaijan to play Lankaran. And again, they just looked a bit off the pace, so I think with a Moldovan side having to go out to Aktobe, then I could, you know, there is a decent argument there that Aktobe will just sweep them off the floor at home.
I can remember when KCE played there last year, Hungarian side, away in Aktobe, and they just didn't look fit at all. Like, the travelling just takes it out of them so much.
Especially at this stage of the season as well, a lot of teams are still
on holiday.
This is still their pre-season games and their competitive fixtures, which is difficult. I mean, the weather isn't ideal as well. I mean, we haven't been having it here in the UK, but just looking at the highlights, you see that they're stopping for drinks breaks after every goal and things like that. In those games where there are a whole lot of goals, we feel sorry for the team, so there's only one or two goals scored, so don't get as much of a break.
As well, the Kazakhs are also, you know, in the midst of their season. So, you know, they've got the advantage that they've been playing competitive football for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's definitely an advantage there. The travelling that they have to do, I haven't looked at their domestic league, but imagine that affects it. There must be some sort of European hangover there.
In the Kazakh League, actually, it's one of the nations in Europe that has the biggest disparities between home records and away records. So over there, it's maybe a bigger deal than anywhere else to play at home. For example, even the team that's top of the Kazakh League at the moment, looking at the stats, they've won 2 away games out of 8. At home, they've won 8 out of 9 and drawn the other. So it just goes to show that even domestically, the travelling distances are a major factor, let alone in Europe. For a small Moldovan team, that obviously won't have the budget for luxury aircrafts, luxury hotels, etc.
The biggest result of the second qualifying round first leg. Metalurg Donetsk of Ukraine, helped by a hat-trick from Gevorg Gazaryan, I think I've pronounced that correctly, as they put 7 past Montenegro and Sarcelli. Looking at odds if I was a betting man. Finally, home nations teams as well. They didn't fare too well. St Johnstone lost 2-0 away to Hersjaspor, and Portadown lost 6-0 away to Slaven Belupo. Whether St Johnstone can turn it around, I'm unsure. I think they'll put a good performance on at home, but I think it's safe to say that Portadown are out of the competition. Caught some of the highlights of the ANZI game. Tommy, you watched all of it. 1-0 win, was that a fair result?
Unbelievably, I'd probably say it is, because ANZI started like a steam train. I was really interested to see him actually, like, against the Hungarian team, which was probably about as good as Knox County, being serious. With all their superstars and Eto and Sam, well, Sam was not really a superstar, you know what I mean? And they weren't actually that good. First half, they dominated. Eto hit the bar, he was a different class. But second half, they sort of took a break. And Onved almost snatched the draw. Chami hit the post in the end of first half, which could easily have gone in. And second half, he had a few chances as well. But I would say there's probably a bit of hope for Onved in the second leg. I know Andrew probably would just come out all guns blazing, but I don't write him off yet.
Yeah, the return leg's in Budapest, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, you know, ANZI obviously used to play in the big stadiums. I mean, how big's Honved's ground?
They will be playing in Honved's ground, but it's really, really small. Like 2,000, maybe. Well, there'll probably be about 2,000 fans there. I know I heard that 6,000 ANZI fans were going to travel, but I wasn't sure. I doubt there'll be many ANZI fans there, to be honest.
Yeah, well, there's only attendance of 4,000 for the home game, which, well, it wasn't at home, as we all know. It was a neutral ground there. Did you catch some of this game as well, Ed?
Yeah, I caught a section of it, yeah. It's quite interesting. After watching ANZI today, actually, Gus Hiddink came out and said they're only halfway to match fitness. So it could explain what Thomas just said about them fading in the second half. Because today in the first half, they probably created a good 6 goal-scoring opportunities and slowed down in the second. So maybe fitness plus travelling could be enough to give Honved a chance in the second round, or second leg, sorry.
Moving on, there's sort of the running theme of sporadic defending continues in Denmark as AGF lost 2-1 at home to Georgian club De La Gori. Looking at the highlights, it was end-to-end stuff. It was a fair amount of attacks for both sides. Lots of suspect defending, but the goalkeepers were there at hand to sort of save the day. Did anyone else catch any of the highlights from this game?
Not especially. I will say, like you were saying about, you know, the theme of awful defending at this stage of the championship definitely came out. But I mean, at least the goalkeepers were there generally to clear up the mess that the defenders, you know, just left them in. It's definitely a result that surprised me a bit, especially as AGF took a very early lead.
Yeah, after 3 minutes, they got their goal. Rosenborg, another team that probably should have won. They were 2-0 up at half-time at home to Ordubasi, again of Kazakhstan. Ended up drawing 2-2. 93rd-minute goal from, pronounce that, Goye Mansour. I think that's how it's pronounced. Giving, you know, Kazakhs an advantage in my eyes, 2 away goals. All they've got to do is hold on for a 0-0 draw. Obviously, never really played for the draw. But providing they score a goal, they're always going to be with an advantage there.
I don't get these Scandinavian teams. Like, they're midway through the season, so they should be reasonably match fit, especially against other teams. Like, I don't know the Georgian league's going on at the moment, but I'm probably not sure it is. They're traditionally quite good in Europe. I don't know what's going on. Most of them have been really poor. I know, like, Rosenborg aren't as good as they used to be, but a 2-2 draw at home to a Kazakhstani team is awful, especially after being 2-0 up.
Yeah, I followed just the first half, so when he found out it was 2-2, it shocked me. But Rosenborg just appeared through, like, the text updates people were sending out on Twitter on the game. We're just completely dominating, and Like, Docal was just having an absolute blinder, everyone was saying. So, you know, to come back later on and find it was 2-2, you just kind of wonder what happened in the last 20 minutes of the game.
Especially with them, like I say, being, I think they are halfway through the season, aren't they, in Denmark, in Norway? Yeah, they are. Yeah. And, they should be going right to the end of the match as well. It's not like they got an excuse of being halfway through the pre-season or whatever. It's weird.
I can imagine that the Rosenborg boss wouldn't have been too happy with that because, I mean, the two away goals, you know, swings the tie. If it was 2-1, you could still argue Rosenborg were on top, but with Aldabassi getting two away from home, then, you know, Rosenborg have to at least match that, you'd expect, in the next leg.
Yeah, they probably have to win in Kazakhstan, which isn't easy, as we've always said.
Especially what we've spoken about with, Ed's spoken about with the sort of home advantage, how well Kazakhstani teams perform at home. Chris, Czech football's your background. Couple of teams involved.
Yeah, the game that I watched that was broadcast on Czech TV was Mladá Boleslav hosting Thor of Iceland. We talked about Thor, not just because of the name, but they're also one of, well, the remaining side that aren't in the top flight of the domestic league. They're currently in the first, well, second tier of Icelandic football. And it's safe to say that the gulfing class between the two sides was very apparent in this tie. It finished 3-0 to the Czech side. Lukáš Magera, ex of Swindon Town, who performed utterly, utterly horrible there and was loaned off to Ostrava at the back end of last season and moved to Boleslav over this summer, got two. And it was just a huge, like, gulfing quality, as I said. But, I mean, Thor set themselves out in a 4-5-1, knowing that they were going to be under it. And they defended well. They were very organised, ran themselves absolutely ragged and into the ground. And the 3-0 defeat, I think they can take credit from that. So I don't think travelling up to Northern Iceland will be especially easy for any side.
No, especially with a team, as we spoke about the name, Thor. It's quite an imposing name.
Because we mentioned in the last round that Thor drew a 0-0 with Bohemians of Dublin. And then the Dublin side just completely crumbled up in Northern Iceland, losing 5-1 away. So I think the 3-0 definitely puts it beyond doubt. At 2-0, I'd have been worried, but 3-0 should be all right for them.
And Pilsen played as well.
Yeah, I caught the highlights of this very late on, stumbled across them. There was no one in the ground. It was completely empty. They had to move the game to the Georgian capital of Tbilisi. Yeah, so there was, I think, 1,000 or 2,000 inside of a 25,000-seat stadium. One that the Super Cup's going to go to in a couple of years. Definitely needs some renovation from what I can see. But Pilsen were just, you know, sheer quality ahead. And Pavel Horvath, if you've ever seen him play or heard of him, you'll know that he's nearer 40 than 30 now, and he's slightly fat. And that's putting it mildly. And he scored an absolute world-class goal with his weaker right foot to put Pilsen 3-1 up. Just go out of your way and find the goal. It's just sweet as you like.
It must be part Hungarian with a name like that.
Try to do the usual Wikipedia job, but I don't know off the top of my head.
Let's have a look.
There's a Hungarian name, definitely.
Yeah. And if he's good as well, he must be Hungarian. Sounds like a push cash.
Yeah, it's interesting, actually.
Born in Prague.
So yeah. Maybe it's Slovak-Hungarian blood moved to Prague. Obviously, yeah. A lot of Hungarian, people of Hungarian origin living in the southern part of Slovakia.
Post a video of it on my Twitter handle. But just the third one, just 30 yards out with his weaker foot and just places it perfectly in the bottom right-hand corner. And the ball just nestles there, like stops dead. It's just fantastic.
A team sort of fresh in from their Champions League exploits last year, Apoel Nicosia beat Senica 2-0 at home, thanks to goals from Elton Jose Almeida and Nectarius Alexandru. 16,323 at the GSP Stadium in Nicosia. I can imagine that was quite a warm one, judging from my holiday in Ionapa last year, around this time of year. Absolutely baking hot. I imagine weather probably played an effect in that one for the Slovak team.
Yeah, it's not a result that especially surprises me. With the strength of Apoel, we saw and talked about Senica beating MTK in the first qualifying round. So I'd fully expect Apoel to, you know, kick on, get another victory away in Slovakia.
So
you were going to jump in as well, Ed, I think.
Yeah, I was just going to make 2 points. First of all, it's an easy game for Apoel. Sinitsa are bottom of the Slovak League from the start of the year. Completely all over the place. Dreadful against MTK Budapest and lucky to go through the first round. Second point is actually going to Cyprus probably isn't too bad for the Slovak team. In Slovakia on that Erevan-Czech border, it normally averages around 30-35 this time of year with greater humidity being so far from the coast. I think it's just a golfing class in terms of football talent more than anything, because Sinitsa couldn't keep the ball against the newly promoted Hungarian team, let alone a team with Champions League experience and far greater talent and resources.
Did anyone watch that game? Chris, did you watch it?
No, I didn't.
Obviously, I saw Sinitsa twice against MTK, and that Rolando Blackburn looked like a real player. Have you seen him much, Ed? Have you seen much of him?
I saw what you saw last time. I've seen him probably a few times in the Slovak League, but it's not... they're not a team I really follow, to be honest, at all, Sinitsa. Because in Slovakia, there's only really two, maybe three teams that push that can win anything. I tend to, if I do watch Slovak football, watch them rather than the smaller teams. But yeah, especially away in Budapest, he was probably the best player on the field.
Yeah, looks like
he really saved.
Moving on to sort of off the pitch issues, unfortunately, it seems to be maybe a topic of reports of racism in some of the games. Ed, you said in one of the matches that you watched there was some complaints made.
Yeah, there's actually a major incident in Sofia where the Levski fans unfolded a banner with a message praising, I don't know if you know, Ratko Mladic and Arkan, the Serbian generals from the Balkan Wars who massacred Bosnians. It was basically they were calling for it to happen again and supporting them. So it's far more unpleasant than typical monkey chanting or other forms of general abuse because of obviously the recent history and specific nature of the message. I believe it's been reported to UEFA. It's definitely been met with disgust throughout Croatia, Bosnia, etc. Although obviously a few Serbian nationalists have thanked them for it. But it's the worst message I've seen displayed on a football ground for a long time.
Never good to hear.
Yeah, as I say, that sounds utterly horrific.
Levski and also CSKA Sofia, both very famous for their neo-Nazi sympathies. And obviously, with Bulgaria being a Orthodox country along with Serbia, they tend to support them based on the recent history, rather, and obviously have issues with Croatians who are Catholics or Bosnians who are a mix of Catholic and Muslim in a lot of cases. Although they have something like, I think it's 20% Orthodox. But yeah, it was very calculated and unpleasant to be celebrating something that I guess you could say is similar to the Holocaust in a way, because it was systematic killing of a particular ethnic group.
Well, hopefully UEFA act up on it accordingly. I wouldn't exactly know what the punishment would be, but could it be expulsion?
I guess I'd just fine them. They never do anything. But there are also hooligan battles in Sofia among the two groups of fans as well, with the Bosnians saying that Bulgarians may die next week in Sarajevo. So I guess UEFA don't care like normal and probably just fine them a few thousand euros.
Oh yeah, at that point, it's with UEFA not caring. I mean, it's a tough one because obviously it's the clubs and it's the fans, but you can't. There's only so far you can go when it's the fans acting upon the name of the club. From what I see, anyway. I mean, you can ban fans all you want, but fans will still turn up. Fining the clubs, as it's technically not the club's fault. If you see where I'm coming from, I mean.
Yeah, I think the issue is basically that the club allowed the banner to be displayed, obviously, when they took it into the ground. Security should first of all have checked it and stopped it. And second of all, once the banner was displayed, security should have gone into the sector and made an effort to remove it and the individuals responsible. And instead, nothing happened whatsoever and they just stood there and looked. I think that's why the clubs would be fine. because, for example, I know very well attending Polish football matches, and there are thorough searches, and any banners that the security people don't like the look of will be banned from the ground and confiscated. And this should have happened in Bulgaria as well, where they could have made a similar effort to stamp down on these types of activities.
I guess it's the same with the Russia-Poland match and the Euros as well, with that massive This Is Russia banner, which had a...
Even communist flags, it was all provocation.
Yeah, there's reports of racism as well in Albania, I believe.
Yeah, I got this link sent to me from Brendan Usbar. Really hope I pronounced that right. So apologies if I got that wrong, Brendan. But he sent me a couple of stories published in the Norwegian press about it. And the two, two of the players for Aalesund were, victims of systematic abuse. There were monkey chants, even bottles thrown when they were, on the near side pitch. UEFA apparently been investigating it. The Norwegian press are absolutely livid about it. It's just another case of, it's sad to see that this is still happening in Europe as we, approaching, 2012, 2013. This is still going on.
I saw similar abuse in the first round, first leg, Slovakia, when MTK played there. And just abuse being hurled at Raphael Wolf of MTK, and they just don't do anything about it. The commentators mention it just that briefly, and then that's it. Crazy.
I'm particularly surprised, actually, that Albanians would engage in that when they're probably the one group, definitely in the Balkans, if not throughout Europe, that probably suffers the most prejudice in Europe. Yet they're victimised on other people based on ethnicity.
There was a great line in the Norwegian press that I read, where it was just like Tremaine Stewart, Jamaican for Aalesund, who was just going on saying, he was booed every time he got the ball, bottles were thrown at him and everything like this, but he responded to the, I think the word was villains or something like that, by getting the equaliser. And I think that's the only way you can really respond without, having to kick off at the time, is, just rise above it and carry on playing your football.
Yeah,
and then just hope that the authorities can do something about it.
Oh, it was quite a good goal as well, from reading the reports anyway, into the top corner, from what I read. We're back on to more positive matters. If a lack of defending is what you could call positive, Lokomotiv Plovdiv and Vitesse of Holland. That was some goal from Jordan Todorov in Plovdiv, their first goal. Woeful defending again, though, to say the least.
I was just going to say about Vitesse in general, that they brought in a lot of players, quite a lot of money, and Patrick Van Aanholt for a lot. I think it was two of their goals. He was at fault for. It's just an awful defender, and then Kalas as well, who plays for him, is not really putting it at the moment for Vitesse.
Yeah, they're an interesting club because they're owned by one of these oligarchs. But obviously, being unfashionable and from the Dutch league, it's a bit harder to attract the famous world-class players. They've invested, obviously, quite a lot in the Chelsea link. And then other players like Bonnie Wilford from Sparta as well. He's been one of the best strikers outside the top European leagues. Scored again in that game.
Yeah, that was interesting. His celebration, he got told off by the referee for it, didn't he? I don't know if that was, he was responding to racist abuse there. It's just a guess, but it was just a bit weird. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't.
He sort of walks over to the Plovdiv fans and sort of says, "Is that all you've got?" or whatever. I don't know if it was any response or whatever, but a bit interesting.
I think the Plovdiv fans were quite excitable at times. I imagine it's probably sort of in a response to wind them up. Chris, you've got to mention.
I just saw the highlights of the game, and I mean, it just was completely crazy. It's exactly what a 4-4-4, well, not a 4-4-4 draw, but a 4-4 draw should be. It's just, it's end-to-end, just goals here, defence all over the place. It's just a great game of football. And it's the one where if you paid your money and then you left seeing the 4-0 draw, you wouldn't really complain about the admission fee. Yeah,
exactly. Another goal fest over in Belarus, Naftan Novopolotsk. Pronounce it, correct me if I'm wrong. Lost 4-3 at home. Yeah, NAFTA. I think NAFTA is probably the right term. Lost 4-3 at home to Red Star Belgrade. Again, goals, goals, goals.
I think when the phrase football being a game of two halves was invented, it was probably in reference to this match. I have to be honest, I watched this for the first half and I turned it off because of the Legia Warsaw game in Latvia. It was pretty close and, well, Zvezda just absolutely massacred them in the first half, could have scored even more than three. And then I turned it back over a quarter of an hour, 20 minutes into the second half to see that the Belarusian team had pulled it back to 3-2. And we had a real game on our hands. It was completely mad. Even the stadium, it wasn't a proper stadium. It probably had the world's thickest running track. You could see cars driving past the pitch when you were watching. And the Belarusian army standing in front of the away fans. It was really surreal watching.
Can we expect more of the same in the second leg? Or do we think Belgrade have probably got that one?
They'll destroy them in the second leg. They have far more talented players. They have talented goal scorer in Kadu. Guys like Lazovic who are very talented as well. It's more of a case, I think, of them losing concentration than anything else. Playing in front of 50,000 crazy Serbians in the second leg, especially with the four-way goals they've got, I see no chance of them going out.
I was going to say as well in that match is the substitution of Alexander Gavrushka, potentially the substitution of the tournament so far, brought on at half-time and got two goals in 20 minutes.
That's an impact sub for you.
Any other results you'd like to talk about, guys? Or do you want to...
I'd like to mention Vidiaton versus Slovan. I thought I didn't see any of the game because it wasn't even being broadcast on Slovakian or Hungarian TV, but apparently Vidiaton did really well. Had a bit of a barrage on the Slovan goal at the end of the game. And came away with a 1-1 draw, which I think they'll be delighted with. Paolo Sousa's the manager, anyone knows him. Former Juventus midfielder, former Swansea manager. He's their manager of Vidiaton, and good things coming from that club.
He was just looking at goal scorer for Vidiaton, Philippe Oliveira, who's at Chelsea at a youth spell a few years back.
Yeah, he's played for Parma, I think, as well. And I think it was him. I'm sure it is. He said recently that Vidiaton are the most professional club he's ever played for. They are a really good club, and hopefully get into the next round.
To my knowledge, England had their first referee in one of the matches at the Sporting Park in Lendava for Mura 05 versus CSKA Sofia. Lee Prober doing the man in the middle. Got a bit card happy, sent off two players, and there was a total of seven yellow cards as well. A 0-0 draw made all the more exciting by the referee, by the looks of things.
It must have been better than a lot of the refs out there. They seem to be awful in this competition so far, especially in the first game against the Nice, empty case.
I'm interested. Did anyone watch this game? Because there's another Balkan game with two of the rival nations from that region.
Right, jump in. So we've heard a lot about Miura and their off-the-field issues in the Europa League so far. And on top of that, we've now got Lee Probert refereeing and getting card happy.
Yeah.
It's just not going right for them this year.
To wrap things up now, we'll see who, if we had to put our money on any team to go through, who would it be? I'll start with you, Ed.
Well, if it is for them to go through, I guess Metalurg Donetsk, if you're going to give me decent odds, yeah. 7-0. If you're looking for the proposition worth a bit of money, got the odds in front. I know Lech Poznan actually was somewhere around, what price were they to win the match? I think it was about 1.55, 1.6 in decimals, which is quite big at home to an Azeri team. Otherwise, looking down the list, who do we have? Caught me at a bad moment. Vojvodina and Novi Sad, they drew at home with the Lithuanian team, Suduva, when they were big 3 or 4 to 1 on favourites. Outplayed them, just bottled it like a lot of Serbian teams seem to do at this stage. But going away to Lithuania, you can get over evens on them, which is pretty pretty decent price. Can't really see anybody else that I like too much, to be honest with you. Maybe it'd be worth having a few on the draw in the Slovan Bratislava Videoton second leg again, with Videoton being quite decent favourites. Otherwise, maybe there's an outside chance of Sarajevo upsetting Levski at 3-1 at home, considering they only lost by one in the first leg. And obviously the passions that are going to be so prevalent in that stadium, given the provocation of the Levski fans.
Chris?
The last time I betted against Lankara and getting through the made it through. So I think actually I'm going to go for Lankara. I think they might be able to sneak it against Poznan in Poland. If Sabasic carries on his goal scoring form and nicks one, you could see that game being very, very edgy, especially if they get the first goal. So look for Lankara in that one, I'd say. And also a result that just sprung off the page, just flicking through the results. AIK of Sweden drew 1-1 in the first leg against FH of Iceland. And the return leg is to be played in Iceland. So Icelandic side have got an away goal. Possibly, you know, might have the advantage in that tie. But the Czech teams, I would both expect them to progress quite comfortably. Young boys will probably go through as well. So Savet, a couple of Swiss people through. And Hajduk against Skonto, you'd definitely say that Hajduk have done enough.
Yeah, I watched actually the first leg of Hajduk. They Skonto looked like some sort of Sunday league team. They were appalling. They had no possession, did nothing with the ball. It was only the fact that Hajduk aren't very good that they didn't destroy them further. The only thing to note is that Vukušić, who's their best player and striker, is probably off to Montpellier soon. But he'll probably still be there for the second round. I think he made a good pick as well, maybe on Lech having trouble, because they sold their star striker, Rudnevs, to Hamburg. He scored something like 30 goals last year. They haven't replaced him at all, and they've looked absolutely terrible in front of goal in all of their games so far.
Okay, and finally, Tom.
I think I'd probably put a bit of money on Inter Turku beating 20. Well, not beating them, but going through, because an away goal and 1-1 draw away at 20 is a really good result. I think I'd bet on Thingy as well. Videoton definitely going through. I can see them comfortably, to be honest, especially at home, where they've been completely different to away. And if you want to have a bit of a risk, I'd go for Honben as well.
Also, hopefully we'll be seeing two Hungarian teams in the next round.
Yeah, well, doubt it. I'll be delighted with one.
They actually lost today. Slovan did away in Košice, who are one of the worst teams in the Slovak league. So I would say Videoton have a good chance, although I did expect them to go out when the draw was made, but Slovan failing to win at home is a really terrible result for them.
They've got a really underrated team, Videoton. They've got a lot of Hungarian and ex-Hungarian internationals like Torgele, and they've got a lot of foreign players which Shoes has been able to attract. I've said it again, but I just say you should watch Videoton in the next round. They play really good football as well. I feel like a Videoton fan. I'm not even a Videoton fan.
Okay, well, that wraps it up for another week. Thanks again for listening. Thanks to my guests. Chris, thanks for being on again.
Absolutely no problem. And of course, you know, the next one, I guess we'll be discussing the second legs. But also looking forward to the third qualifying round when the supposed big boys of Inter Milan, Marseille and Liverpool join in.
Don't forget Athletic Bilbao as well.
And Bilbao. I'll get shouted out by a couple of people for forgetting those.
Yeah, exactly. Whereabouts can we find you on the World Wide Web?
Twitter is at the checkup, and as of this morning, it is thecheckup.co.uk.
Brilliant.
That finally went live.
Make sure you check it out. Ed, thanks again for coming on. Been enjoyable as always. Whereabouts can we find you on the internet?
My Twitter handle is at GIBBE84.
And Tom, thank you for coming on. A bit of Hungarian football is always good to listen to. I assume you and Gabby, both really good guys, and good bit of knowledge on it as well.
Yeah, I hope I'm not being a bit too positive. not traditionally positive Hungarians, but never mind.
Whereabouts can we find you online?
At Twitter, Hungaria Football, with one L at the end of football. and HungarianFootball.com.
Well, thanks again, guys. And if you have enjoyed listening to the pod, this handle is @EuropaLegion. And hopefully you'll hear from us next week. Thanks a lot, guys.